Well, welcome to this episode of Refried Sunday. It's a podcast for the congregation of West London Alliance Church, and our goal is to encourage the people of WLA to reflect on our worship gatherings, consider how we can apply what we receive from God's Word, and actively prepare our hearts for the next time we gather together as a church family. I'm Barry Usher.
And I'm Dave DeSmit, Director of Worship Arts here at West London Alliance Church. This past Sunday, Pastor Jude shared that he and Pastor Graham will be traveling over the next 2 weeks to Africa to visit two of our missionary families. So while Jude is away, I'm stepping in to Refry Sunday with Barry. That is to think about what was rich and nourishing from our gathering and savor it again.
We'll try and fry it up real good.
Real good, Barry.
Real good. So, Dave, you have a unique, very busy role every time the church gathers for worship Sunday mornings. There's never a dull moment for you. And I imagine a lot of people might not know exactly what goes into your morning when you arrive on Sundays. Walk us through a typical Sunday for you.
Sure. Well, Sunday mornings are a busy time, but they do not happen without a whole team of individuals who give their time and talents and this actually all starts long before Sunday morning comes. So songs are chosen and rehearsed. The slideshow presentation is carefully put together. We have specific congregants who choose the background images in advance and these sorts of things. So on Sunday morning, it's usually a fairly early start for our team arriving at the church somewhere between 7, quarter after 7, somewhere around there. We power up all the gear and get the band rehearsing. The band does a run-through of the songs that are scheduled for the services that morning, and that rehearsal usually ends around 8:15. And from there, we gather with all the AV team and musicians and anyone else who might be serving that morning, and we go through a devotional together and spend some time in prayer. Right now, we're going through a book called Before We Gather by Zach Hicks, which are actually devotionals written specifically for worship leaders and teams. But I would also like to make special mention of another devotional book. This one is called Sunday Matters, 52 Devotionals to Prepare Your Heart for Church. It's by Paul David Tripp, and this was a devotional we went through last year and finished that up at the end of 2024. And this is just an excellent resource in preparing our hearts and minds to worship together. So I want to recommend picking up a copy of that to the congregants of West London Alliance Church. It's just a great tool to prepare your heart and mind. You can read it on a Saturday night or the Sunday morning before you come to church. And so after the devotional together, we go through the service, the practical aspects of what needs to happen and when, who needs to be where and at what time, what mic they're using, these sorts of things. And we want to be in that purposeful and making sure everyone who is participating in the service knows what's going on. And Barry, I also need to make special mention of our tech team here because we have around 20 WLAC congregants who serve in this capacity on sound, live stream, projection, and they work hard behind the scenes in the roles that they've been tasked with. So I'm grateful for these brothers and sisters, and truly Sunday morning gatherings would not happen without them.
Those pre-service meetings have been rich times of prayer, particularly I'm thinking when we started the Paul David Tripp book, maybe 18 months ago. I've lost track now, but it's been a while.
Yep,
we wrapped up at the end of 2024, and now we're into another one. Just having that structure and that those few moments together as a small group or a small team or sometimes a large team, preparing our hearts, hearing from God's word in the manner of the devotions and praying together has been a really valuable time. Mm. And I know the door is open for others who would want to join. So if you're at the church at quarter after eight and want to join in for a time of prayer, you'd be welcome to do that in the sanctuary.
Absolutely. Everyone is welcome. If you're on coffee or on greeting, definitely come and join us. And like you said, Barry, it's just a time to pause, to sort of gather our thoughts, to focus on God. Sunday mornings can be a little bit frenetic, especially if something's not working quite right or rehearsal goes a little bit long. So this is just time that we have seen as being instrumental as, you know, the brothers and sisters who are serving on that team that morning to just take the time to quiet ourselves, to focus on the Lord and prepare ourselves for the morning ahead.
Oh, very good. Well, I know we'll reference this book again closer to the end of the podcast. And we'll have a chance to share the title and the author and encourage people to use that. But let's begin the process of reflect, consider, and prepare. Dave, what was something memorable from this past Sunday that's stuck with you?
Well, it's actually sort of a sequence of three parts of the service on Sunday. First, it was Mindy Warad's evangelism testimony, where she described, in spite of some very difficult personal circumstances, she taught the Bible to her neighbor when her neighbor came over with her Bible, asking if Mindy would teach her. That really stood out to me. And then we had Brian Warad's wonderful prayer based on Psalm 23, mm-hmm. reminding us to continually find our hope in Christ. And he called us to identify and rid ourselves of worldly distractions that are holding us back from fully following Christ. And then following that, April Postma read the first 25 verses of Acts chapter 8. And where we read of persecuted believers responding in their affliction by continuing to teach and preach the gospel. So among those three aspects of the service, so there's just this thread of faithfulness amidst hardship and challenge and difficulty. So that thread sort of ran through those three components and kind of made them all work wonderfully together. And only God could have planned that.
Absolutely. Amen. And thankful for that. And Brian did a wonderful job leading us in prayer and giving time for the congregation to reflect and truly prepare our hearts and confess before God. And those are precious moments, essential moments, I think, for believers, and particularly as we approach God in corporate worship. We need to take advantage of each of those. I had a few of my own. One of the things that stood out to me was actually the sound of the congregation's singing. So I had the joy and privilege of playing the piano on Sunday morning, and that's a unique seat in the sanctuary. You can see almost all the faces, but you can certainly hear all of the sound. And what was particularly striking to me was the last song that we sang. The chorus of it is very much like a prayer. The song was All to Us, and we were lifting a corporate prayer saying, "Let the glory of your name be the passion of the church." And that was stirring for me in that moment to see my brothers and sisters and their expressions in worship, and as well the powerful testimony of those words. And I love seeing the variety of physical expression, and there's a lot of different expression that happens across our congregation. There's people clapping, reminiscent of Psalm 47:1. There's lifting of hands, often like in Psalm 134:2, and each of these gestures is a biblically faithful, and it's an authentic response as people approach God in worship, and as we do so corporately in order for us to bless God and to express our surrender to Him and to cry out to Him in supplication. So that was memorable for me on Sunday morning. And particularly over the last, I think it's probably been maybe a year that we've been doing this, where we've incorporated a moment of silence prior to the call to worship. Now, this is not unique to us. There are many churches incorporate a time like this into their service, and I appreciate it, but I'm wondering, Dave, if you can give a little more context and understanding to why we feel this is important and what we hope to accomplish.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I think, Barry, we all know silence is a precious commodity in our day and age. We're just surrounded by noise, distractions all the time. So there aren't many times during the day that we experience silence. At least I don't. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's different for other people. But that time at the beginning of the service is meant to be an opportunity to put distractions aside and together pray that the Lord would prepare our hearts to fill our minds with His truth. Mm-hmm. So it is a time for us to live in the command to be still and know that I am God, as we read in Psalm 46. So we hope, and our goal is that the time is fruitful in allowing us to focus on the Lord, with that silence being broken by the proclaiming of God's word as part of the call to worship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard these opportunities for silence in a corporate worship gathering described as countercultural, and you mentioned that it's where else in our busy weeks do we actually intentionally put aside time for silence? Mm-hmm. And more than that, where do we do it when we're gathered in large numbers?
That's right.
So it's particularly impactful. I know in my mind, I use that time for personal prayer and preparation of my own heart. What do you find going through your mind?
Well, it's a wonderful time. Like often I am on the stage getting ready to lead the first song or do the call to worship. And I use that time to do what you just described, to pray that the Lord would use this time to fill my mind with his truth. I pray for the congregation because I have a unique vantage point of standing on the platform and looking out over all the brothers and sisters and just praying for the morning, knowing what's coming up, what we have, what we've prepared and what we hope that God will use to bless the congregation. And there is something about being in silence among the brothers and sisters that develops a camaraderie, I think, that develops a connection. We're all there together for one purpose, and that is to glorify and worship God. And I think that even happens amongst those individualized prayers during that moment of silence.
Yeah, it is a precious moment, and we trust God is using that to form and shape us and prepare us in those moments for the worship that we'll offer. Well, let's move on to consider some of the key applications that we can draw from our gathering together. Some of those things will come from Jude's sermon, and he's not here to defend himself or to make further sort of insights. We will get to his sermon, but let's start with the musical aspect of our corporate worship and maybe start by giving us a bit of understanding about the songs that were chosen, why they were chosen, perhaps how you go about choosing songs.
Sure. Yeah. Well, for the services this past Sunday, I worked with Mark and Karen Koopman in choosing and leading the songs. And when our worship leaders are choosing songs for a particular Sunday, we want to start with the passage that is being preached on. So in reading it, we look for certain words, certain phrases or theological ideas, sort of common themes in the text. And then as best as we can, we align the song choices with the meaning and the heart of the passage. So we want to plan our song choices very carefully and purposefully because we are leading theologically first and musically second. So the words that we sing matter, and that's why we take so long in choosing the songs that we want to sing. So because they're feeding us doctrine. Mm-hmm. We want songs that teach people that are full of rich, theological, Christ-exalting truth. So for instance, this past weekend, we looked at the first 25 verses of Acts chapter 8, as we mentioned, in which we see persecution ramping up against Christians, causing some of them to flee for their lives. And even as they're scattered under the threat of serious harm and even death, they boldly and obediently continue to preach Christ. So the gospel is proclaimed over a much wider area than it had previously been. So, for example, we sang a song this past weekend called I Will Follow. And I asked Mark and Karen to kind of contribute a little bit to this discussion because they were in on the choices that were being made in terms of the songs. So she explained a little bit about why we thought that song fit for this particular passage. So she says, I Will Follow makes me think of the ebbs and flows of the Christian walk as a whole. There will be times of calm, of favor, of storms, of want, and ultimately death. But our victorious Savior has already overcome the world, John 16:33. So we can sing that even in the good, even in the storms, even in the want, and even in our death, we will follow him. The obedience of those who went before us in Acts should compel us to follow their example to boldly preach Jesus amidst joy and persecution, running with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, Hebrews 12:1-2, and looking forward to one day when we will be with him in paradise. And Barry, the last song we sang was one you already referenced. It's called All to Us. It was led by Mark Koopman. And here's what he had to say about the choosing of that song. Mark says, as we go through Acts and we read about trials, challenges, and persecution and the work of the apostles enduring and remaining faithful through it all. That's why, to all of that, for them and for us, Jesus is all to us. Our hope, our salvation, and our promise. The song carries a reminder for the church to glorify his name and pursue righteousness with passion. The song references a burning flame. The closing verse speaks to our lives here on earth being temporary and that eternity awaits. So we have these themes of enduring suffering, persecution, pain, and loss, knowing that Christ is with us in all of that. He'll never leave us nor forsake us as we trust and rely on him. So these are the same themes in the new song that we sang, which was called He Will Be. It's a City of Light song that even when there seems to be no way out of our life circumstances, even in our times of doubt, even when we retreat from him, he draws near in his grace and in his faithfulness as our merciful Redeemer. So this teaches us, again, the sovereignty of God in our salvation. And we'll look forward to singing that song again in future services. And we started off the service by singing I Believe, sort of this wonderful overview of the Christian faith, speaking of one salvation being found in Christ. It's Trinitarian in nature, addressing the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Speaks of Christ's crucifixion and resurrection, calls us to not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that song is meant to impress the gospel on our minds, on our hearts, and on our lives. So I have to say, Barry, I am so grateful for the worship leaders we have at West London Alliance Church, who are not only great musicians, but they're theologically minded. Which is a real blessing from the Lord. Mm-hmm. So thankful for them.
Absolutely. So when we prioritize scripture and singing scripture, that leads us in the right path as to the type of music that we want to sing. That's what I'm hearing from what you're saying.
That's right.
Scripture first, sound doctrine and theology through those songs that we would do as Colossians say, let the word of Christ dwell in us richly as we teach and admonish, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to one another.
Yeah, you just quoted the verse I'm about to quote, Barry.
It's almost like we have a script right in front of us. I'm sorry, I stepped on your line there, Dave.
That's okay.
I didn't even read that. Jude has been mentioning recently in this last number of weeks in our sermon series on Acts, the idea of our pursuit of faithfulness and leaving the fruitfulness of our efforts and the ministry that we undertake to God. Mm. What are your hopes for our congregation as we seek to grow in faithfulness during our times of corporate worship? Singing, sorry.
Yeah. Well, there's a worship leader down in Kentucky. His name is Bob Coughlin. He's been very helpful for me in this regard and as to establishing what the goal of corporate singing is. And he says, we sing together to deepen the relationships we enjoy through the gospel. So relationship with God and with each other. And in the verse you just quoted, Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell richly among you in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing to God with gratitude in our hearts. So it lays it all out there. So God in his creative genius, he made music to help us meditate on the truths of the gospel in an even more profound way. It's like our brains are hardwired to recognize patterns in music more than just words alone. So the thought is that singing impresses the gospel into our hearts and minds in a deeper way than words alone could, and that deepens our relationship with Christ, with the Father, but also with each other. So my hope is that the congregation would recognize how their active participation in congregational singing is profoundly beneficial for those reasons, not only for themselves, but for the entire congregation as a whole. As we sing these theological truths together, we're singing to each other, encouraging each other, admonishing one another with the songs that we sing each and every Sunday. So that's what I hope the congregation sees as being the goal with congregational singing, corporate worship. And we'll continue to do that.
And we trust God that he'll use those songs, use the singing of his church for his glory and for the sake of glorifying Christ in us. Mm-hmm. That's our hope. Now, as we mentioned, Jude isn't here to unpack more of his sermon with us, but we can reflect a bit more on some of the applications that he made from his text. He preached from Acts 8, 1 to 25, a message titled, "The Gospel Goes to Samaria." And the central idea was that the persecution of the early church led to the expansion of the gospel, and that God uses even hardships to advance his mission. And the application, one of the applications Jude made from those first three verses of the text was a reminder that we are called to proclaim Christ in every circumstance, whether we're under pressure or at peace. And in fact, those difficult seasons in our lives shouldn't be seen as setbacks, but as gospel opportunities. I appreciated that about Mindy Warad's testimony. That seemed to reflect this truth very well. What do you think is the case for us when we find ourselves to be hesitant to speak of Christ in those hard times? And is there a remedy for that?
I think two things on that, Barry. The first being, I think we sometimes misinterpret the challenges and the trials and the difficulties that we encounter in our lives as being, as not recognizing them for what they are. So we're told in Hebrews that as sons and daughters, we will be disciplined, and it's out of the love of God to conform us further, more and more to be like Christ. And we're not seeing those circumstances necessarily through, you know, the lens of verses such as Romans 8, 28, which says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose," saying all things are working together for our good. So I know for myself, sometimes I can lose sight of that fact or that truth that we read in Romans in the midst of challenges. And the second thing, I think often challenges in our lives just make us sort of so inward looking that we fail to recognize those opportunities when we can share the gospel with other people. We're so focused on our own circumstances, our own feelings, that that really, I think the only remedy is to just, and Mindy showed this brilliantly in just deciding that despite her circumstances, she was going to go back to the truth of God's word. It's up to us to open our Bibles, to show people what we see is written within the Bible, to teach them scriptural truth, to present them with the gospel, and from there, ask them to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. And I know that's especially challenging when you are feeling down, when you are feeling low. And so I think, that would just be one suggestion I would have.
And Jude tied this in well to that point of application, pointing to Paul's instruction in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where God says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." So a chance for us to meditate on the character of God and also see how we experience it by God's grace in those situations.
Yeah. I'll just make one more quick comment too, because this came back to when David Manoukian did his testimony a number of weeks ago, and the realization that he came to of it's not up to him to save the individual. It's up to him to present the gospel clearly, forthrightly, and allow the Lord to work by his Spirit through that. So that's, and that passage, as you said, from 2 Corinthians as well. I know for myself, I need God's grace working in my weakness.
Amen to that. The next part of the passage Jude spent time on was the story of Simon the magician. And he was making the point that we need to examine our own hearts and our motives and to see if there'd be any sort of evidence of superficial faith within us. In fact, he addressed unbelievers or two categories of unbelievers, those who are acting in sort of a superficial way in faith, and those who would be authentic and say, no, they aren't believers. And I think the call is to ensure that our lives are marked by repentance and humility. In fact, that was the call of the gospel to us and submission to Christ. And Jude referenced the numbers in Canada and how many are would describe themselves as spiritual, but not religious. That's a common term. And I'm wondering, and I'm going to pick your brain as the director of worship arts ministry here, what role do you think music plays in helping us to cultivate hearts that are truly repentant and submitted to Christ?
Well, as I mentioned before, music has a way of impressing ideas into our hearts and into our minds more than mere words do. So there's a sense in which as we sing these songs, that truth is being, you know, marinated in our minds. It's really searching us when we're doing it correctly. When we're really sort of engaging with it and espousing it as we sing, we're singing the words back from, in our case, the screens as we read them. And as we're doing that, we're filtering them through ourselves. And I think it's hard not to sort of analyze what's going on in those words and comparing those words to your own experience as well. If you're engaging with the words that you're singing. So music really helps in that regard, in just in who we are as created beings. It kind of takes those ideas and, as I would say, magnifies them in a way that just mere words don't.
Absolutely. Jude made the point from verse 25 of chapter 8 that we are called to be passionate proclaimers of Christ. Verse 25 in that passage says, "Now when they had testified and spoken the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel to many villages of the Samaritans." And my wondering that I found myself considering yesterday is, how do we develop a mindset that is always on mission like the early believers? What is it that helps us to keep the gospel in focus at every moment of our life? Certainly, as you've mentioned, music can be helpful in that regard. Reading the word regularly, joining together for corporate worship. What else?
Yeah. Well, it's like Mark and Karen mentioned in the last verses of some of those songs they picked of the necessity of us having our eyes fixed on heaven. Like, this is just our temporary home. We are looking forward to spending eternity with the Lord. And the fact of the matter is, we haven't been promised tomorrow. We don't know when the Lord is going to take us. And this was, again, I was reminded of that at the men's lunch yesterday. Andrew Vanderplug gave a great devotional just on the urgency of proclaiming the gospel. He tragically lost his brother this past summer, and I think at the age of 58. And of course, everyone thinks they're going to live to the ripe old age of whatever, but we just don't know when our time is up. And That means two things. One, proclaiming the gospel with the urgency for those people around us who don't know Christ, because they don't know how much time they have. And then the same for us in the impact that we want to make on this world by the Spirit working through us. We need to live with that sense of urgency. So I think that's a mindset that is developed, sort of characterized by recognizing the urgency of the gospel, given how fleeting our life is on the earth.
Let's trust that God would, in fact, make us passionate proclaimers of the gospel in all circumstances. Well, as we think ahead to our next gathering, let's consider how we might prepare ourselves well. What are some of the ways, Dave, that people of WLA can be preparing for worship?
Well, we have mentioned this before, but we have a weekly email that comes out every Wednesday morning. And contained within that email is upcoming events, ministry opportunities, that sort of thing. But there's also a link to the scripture passage that's going to be preached on. So coming up this week, it is Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. So I'd encourage you to read that in advance. There's also the song list that we've chosen in advance, that there's a playlist linked in that email. So you can, even for yourself, start making some of the connections between that playlist and the themes of the verses that will be preached on by our brother Rand this coming Sunday. And then I mentioned it before, I'll mention it again. This book called Sunday Matters by Paul Tripp, 52 devotionals to prepare your heart for church. If you read that with your family the night before the gathering Saturday night or Sunday morning, I just think that would be a real beneficial way to shape all our hearts and minds and come into the gathering, ready to worship the Lord together.
Those are perfect little devotionals for families. Mm-hmm. And I think that's definitely the intent. One of the reasons why the book was written was to be helpful for families and as well as church ministry teams and the like. But
that's right.
This book, 52 Devotions to Prepare Your Heart for Church Sunday Matters by Paul David Tripp. As always, I think it's, and you mentioned it, Dave, reading the passage ahead of time. And so people know this coming Sunday, we'll be looking at Acts chapter 8, starting at verse 26, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, going to the end of the chapter, verse 40. Of that way. And as I would like to do each time to close the podcast episode, I'd like to use some of the things that were prayed on in our Sunday gathering to remind us again of what we ought to be considering and to help us move forward. And today I want to lead us in prayer, drawing from the words shared on Sunday by you, Dave, and your call to worship, as well as some of the words Pastor Jude prayed and some of those words Brian Warad, one of our elders, prayed. So let's pray together. Father, as Dave reminded us in our call to worship, you are great and powerful. You deserve our honor and praise. You are our provider, our covenant-keeping protector, our sustainer, and our merciful redeemer. Help us to live lives that bring honor to your name and testify to the glory of your Son. And as Brian prayed, reminding us of Psalm 23, you have made known to us the path of life. In your presence, there is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Help us to trust you in everything, to thank you in all things, to walk with you through every valley and every joy, and to place our hope fully in you. And as Jude prayed, Father, would you instill in every believer here a deep passion and commitment to live on mission for the glory of Christ's name. Let the glory of your name be the passion of the church, and let the saving love of Christ be the measure of our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, we've refried Sunday. Lord willing, we'll be back again to reflect, consider, and prepare together.
Amen. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Barry.